I truly appreciate the thoughts that our brother has shared with us tonight from the book of Kings and for his prayer, and ask you to continue to pray for me and with me as I endeavor to speak to you tonight. I do have a desire, I trust a burden of the Lord, to deliver a charge to our church tonight concerning our responsibility to these two young brothers who have joined the church, and maybe a charge to their parents, and a charge to them. It's an awesome responsibility we have as a church to have people join the church and begin their journey of discipleship with the Lord Jesus. And the church Jesus Christ built on this earth has been a blessing to many of his people throughout the last 2,000 years. It provides warmth in a cold world. Elder Monsees wrote that beautiful song, "Out in the Cold World, Away from Home." The church provides warmth. It provides safety in a world of hostility. Do y'all feel safe in the house of God? I don't feel like anybody's after me. And I'm not after anybody in the church. I feel like I'm with family. We're safe in the house of God. It provides light in a dark world through the Word of God. It's a light shining in a dark world. The church is basically a group of human beings working together to build something beautiful and lasting. And aren't we thankful that God is still raising up people to follow Him? I'd like to begin in Scripture tonight with a passage in Psalm 127, beginning in verse 1, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it." Would y'all agree with that? Yeah. "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Verse 3, "Lo, children." What are children? "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward." Isn't that a beautiful description of children? Heritage of the Lord. "As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." An arrow is an amazing weapon when it's used properly. And children are an heritage of the Lord. Last night, Nelda and I got to watch online as David Aaron and his wife in Arkansas announced, or they didn't announce that they're having a baby. They call it these days, the reveal. And they had something shooting out of a cannon, and it was blue. And Nelda was rejoicing so much that Aaron's now going to have a boy. Isn't that a blessing from God? Amen. It just is. Now, when God gives us these children, it's our responsibility as parents to give them direction. A skilled man with a bow and arrow knows how to direct the arrow so it hits the target. Well, David says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." These parents of these young boys have an awesome responsibility to give them direction in this life. Would y'all agree with that? You can't turn that over to the school. You can't turn that responsibility over to the government. The most of that responsibility rests with the parents. And the grandparents play a big role in that. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. And I've read commentators who did a lot of research. Brother Dustin agrees with that. They're expecting their fourth one. But I've read where commentators say a quiver full of arrows was five. And y'all are just about full there, brother. Mom and Daddy had a lot of quivers full. But happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Yes, sir? I tell you, one good mother is worth probably 100 good school teachers. And I'm not devaluing the value of school teachers. But one good mother in that home is probably worth 100 good school teachers. One good daddy is probably worth 100 preachers. You just cannot underestimate the value of moms and dads. And it's our responsibility to pass the torch to the next generation. I asked the church today, I said, what kind of church do you think Cool Springs will be 25 years from now? Do y'all ever think about that? I do. I know I'm probably not going to be here in 25 years, but I want this church to be here, and I want it to be doing well. You know, they say politicians are worried about the next election. Statesmen are worried about the next generation. Statesmen vote in ways that will help the next generation. Politicians are just worried about the next election. Whatever I got to do to get elected again. I don't want to be that kind of pastor. I'm concerned about the welfare of this church when I'm dead and gone. And I know a lot of you are. And we ought to be asking the question, what kind of church will Cool Springs be 25 years from now? And a lot of that's going to depend on how we behave today. Taking the little children in and loving them. You know, when a church is having trouble and the older members are butting heads, have y'all ever seen pictures of the Rams on TV that are butting heads? They got those big horns and they can butt heads for an hour or two and they don't seem to get hurt. And when the fight is over, they just go on their way. You know who gets hurt? The little lambs that the Rams are trampling on. I'd rather leave this world tonight than to offend one of God's little ones. We want the church to be a safe place for our children. And I'm telling you, every member of this church has that responsibility. The parents have a lot of responsibility, and the children do. And I tell you, the children, they can teach us so much. Let's look in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1. At the same time came the disciples to Jesus, saying, Lord, you are glorious in all of your majesty. You're King of kings. You're Lord of lords. We just want to adore you and worship you. Is that what they said? Let's notice. At the same time came the disciples to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, I already know the answer to that, and that's Jesus. Would y'all agree? But see, these disciples of Jesus were trying to take front place. They wanted to be top dog. So they asked the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, if somebody ever stands up at Cool Springs, where I'm pastoring, in a conference or a meeting like this and says, "Brother Pastor, I want to know who the greatest member of Cool Springs Church is," you know what I need to do? And I hope I would do. I would say, "Brother, you need to sit down and be quiet. That question is out of order in the house of God." I got two amens. How many of y'all would agree that question is totally out of order? Now, when it comes to baseball teams, they have a right to try to choose the most valuable player. Football teams, basketball teams, soccer teams. Hollywood's got a right to try to determine who the greatest actor is. But in the house of God, that kind of thinking is totally out of order. So to answer the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, notice what Jesus said. "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them." Now, I'm sure these grown men who are wanting top position in the kingdom wonders why a little child would be brought into their midst. What's this little child got to do with who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Here is the shocking news that Jesus gives them. See, the kingdom of God is not like anything else on the face of this earth. It's totally different to anything that man has ever designed. He said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Did you know you can't even get into the church until you humble yourself and become as a little child? You say, "Well, Brother Sam, I joined the church and I didn't humble myself." Well, you didn't get in. They might have voted you in and you might have been wet in the baptistry, but I can tell you, you didn't get in the kingdom. Are y'all listening? Jesus said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name does" what? "You receive me." Isn't that beautiful? Now, how can a child teach us to be humble? How many of y'all tonight know that humility is the crowning, it's the crowning glory of discipleship? It is. Without humility, you and I can't even get into the church. And when God would give us a list of seven things that He hates, do you know what was at the top of the list? A proud look. For tiny little specks of humanity like we are, depraved and wretched in our nature, to go around with a proud look in the presence of the Almighty, Eternal God who created the heaven and the earth, no wonder He's offended by that. God hates pride in His children. And humility, to me, is just the cornerstone of Christian character. So how can a child teach us to be humble? Well, one thing I was thinking about this afternoon about children is they don't seem to be upset with their smallness. Yesterday, Nelda and I had our seven Georgia grandchildren in our house. You know, it's just such a blessing. Franklin was there and he enjoyed them. And I noticed John Henry, he's 5 years of age. And he just didn't seem to be upset that he was the smallest. He was okay with being small. He wasn't worried about that. He wasn't trying to compete with anybody else. Let me ask you all tonight, are y'all comfortable with the fact that you're just little children? in God's sight? See, when John was writing his epistle and writing it to grown people like we are, he said, little children. Are y'all offended tonight when I tell y'all that in God's sight you're just little children? Come on now. I don't care. You can be the president of the bank or the president of the United States, but in the sight of a holy God, you're just a little child. And you and I need to be comfortable with our smallness. Don't try to go around showing off and trying to be bigger than anybody else. Just accept the fact. And children can teach us that. I just sat there yesterday and watched John Henry, and I was just touched. He was putting little blocks together, and he was diligent about it. And when they'd fall over, you know what he did? He just built them again. He just didn't cry and get upset because he failed. He was okay with his failures. He just kept on. And you and I, when we fail, and how many of us are going to fail every day about something, we need to just be comfortable with that and just get up and keep going on. Little children trying to walk, they fall, but that's not a big deal. It'd be a big deal if I fail. I probably hurt something, but they can fall several times a day. They just get up and keep going on. And listen, you're going to fall in your discipleship, in your prayer life, in loving your spouse. You're going to fail maybe at your job, as a sibling, as a parent. But don't let it get you down. Just recognize that you are weak and you're depending on a God who can help you. We just need to remember that, beloved. We just need to humbly accept our smallness. Our significance comes from being one of God's children. That's what makes us significant. It's not how much money you got. It's not how pretty you are. I know a lot of people get carried away with their beauty. We got a woman in Washington right now, a Congress lady, carried away with her beauty. Social media does that to people, I'm afraid. You know, when you put your picture on social media, you want to look the best you've ever looked. I want to tell you, you and I just need to accept who we are in Jesus Christ, that we're just little children in the sight of God. And not try to be bigger or better than anybody else in this world. Just be what God would have you to be. And as His child, that gives you a lot of significance. And I want to tell you this. I want to treat you all like you are the children of God. And if somebody is aggravating you and really pestering you and you're tempted to not like them, try to see them like they're going to look in the resurrection. Say there's somebody on your case and you just can't stand them, but you know they're one of God's children. Just try to imagine what they're going to look like when they come out of the grave. See them as a regenerate, born again, glorified child of God. Treat them that way. You say, I can't do that, Brother Sam. No, you can't in the flesh, but you get enough of the Holy Spirit in you, you can. See, the Holy Spirit affects our thinking. That's why Paul said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. A drunk man not thinking straight, because that whiskey's affected his mind. Well, the Holy Spirit will do the same to your mind. And the first news you know, you start loving people that you used to not love. And you think one more, why am I loving that person? How is this? It's the Holy Spirit in you. Are y'all getting this tonight? It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can help us to overlook people's faults and failures. Overlook one another for good and not for evil. Children can teach us that. Second, I want to say tonight that children imitate their parents. I remember as a kid, I heard a preacher one time, I forget who it was, but he was talking about plowing a mule in the field. And as a dad, he could take long steps. And his little boy was right behind him trying to step in all the footprints he left in the plowed dirt. The little boy was trying his best to follow in his dad's steps. Children do that. They imitate their kids. That's why you and I really need to be careful what we say and how we behave around our children. And I want to tell you, you and I need to be imitating our Heavenly Father. Would you all agree? And our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. The little children can teach us so much in this life. After all, we were created in His image or in His likeness. And then children, as a rule, now there are exceptions, but as a rule, children try to please their parents. They do at a certain age. Now when they get to be teenagers, they have more of a challenge. God bless the teenagers. I was one. Teenagers are not children, but they're not grown. They're just kind of, and we've created them in America, in this culture. They're not in the Bible. You were a kid until you grew up. And that was at about the age of 12 or 13. And that would be better today if we had that going on. Would you all agree? Now, the only thing worse than being a teenager is being the parent of one. It's a challenge. I mean, really, because parents stumble. And the parent needs to be humble about it. But I want to tell you, beloved, little children long to please their parents. They delight in it. I tell you, I remember as a child, and my mama would look at me a certain way, and it'd just break your heart. You wanted that smiling approval. Well, you and I ought to be wanting the approval of our Heavenly Father. Would y'all agree with that this evening? Am I getting over to y'all anything? Am I wasting my time? We want to be like little children. We can't even get into the kingdom until we are as little children. You say, Brother Sam, you got to remember my education. You got to remember the position I've got at the base. Or how much land I own, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I know all that, but I also know in God's sight, we're just little children. We're His little children. And we need to try to please our Heavenly Father. Another thing about children that could teach us a lot, even though they're rambunctious and energetic, children, as a rule, unless they've been taught, they're not full of anxiety. They're not full of restlessness. They're not worrying about anything. If they've got a parent that they trust and love, little children are free from anxiety and worry. Could the children teach us anything about that tonight? Children are not wringing their hands, staying awake at night, worrying about the economy or the government or the neighbors. And you and I want to tell you, you and I have got a wonderful Heavenly Father watching over us. The two birds were talking, and one of them said, why are those humans down there so worried? And the other one said, I guess they don't have a Heavenly Father like we do. I mean, if a bird could think and talk, they probably would have that conversation. Their Heavenly Father takes care of them. And what did Jesus tell us? He said, consider the sparrow. The sparrow can teach us. They're not lazy. They're not waiting on welfare. But I want to tell you, they're busy. I heard the other day somebody said, you know, the early bird gets the worm. And one person said, no, the night owl gets him. If you get up too early. But I want to tell you, birds are not lazy. They're energetic. But they're not worried. They're not fretting. They're singing. Do y'all like to hear birds sing? I finally got our bird feeders fixed up this week. I'm doing some of God's work. Whoa. I'm feeding the birds. Brother Vernon Mazzell over in Alabama gave us a bird feeder one day and a bag of feed. He said, now y'all go do God's work. Well, you know, God's got me feeding them. He's got a lot of people feeding them, and He feeds them Himself. And they're singing. I just love to watch the birds sing. How many of y'all like hummingbirds? Aren't they beautiful? They're magnificent. Our Heavenly Father takes care of them. And the little children are about as peaceful and calm as the birds are. You say, now, Brother Sam, you're wasting your time telling me not to worry. I've been told that a lot of times. And I understand, worrying slips up on me. When I catch myself, I'm ashamed because I've got a heavenly Father who told me, cast my care on Him. He cares for me. See, a lot of y'all think you're just too old to hear this, too big, too important. It's not going to work. It will work if you humble yourself as a little child. It'll work. And I want to close tonight by telling you another way that children can teach us. Paul told us to be men in business, but children in what? In malice. I've been around enough little kids. Betsy and Amanda, my daughters, used to, you know, they say the only thing necessary to have sibling rivalry is two children. Guarantee you. Betsy and Amanda would get into it. It would upset me. But you know, they'd get over it pretty quick. Like nothing had ever happened. Now, I want to tell you, you and I, as adults in the house of God, we're going to bump into one another every once in a while. I probably offended somebody today. I don't know. Here at church. But if you're a little child, you can just forgive Brother Sam and get right on with life. Let's try to be little children in malice and not carry a grudge for the rest of our lives. Now, God has given this church two fine young boys. Their parents, I believe, are doing a good job, but they need our prayers. It's an awesome responsibility to bring up children in this age. And the church has a responsibility. May God help Cool Springs Church to every one of us to humble ourselves and take our place. And listen, a pastor, you know what a pastor is? He's a servant. That's all I am, is a servant. I'm a servant leader. As the pastor, I'm to guide the church, but I'm to guide them by the Word of God, teaching the Word of God. That's my responsibility. You know what the word deacon means? The word deacon means servant. I've known men who wanted just to run for the office of deacon. They just didn't have good judgment. Who would want to run for that job? But let me tell you, the qualifications are there in Scripture. And when men meet those qualifications and the church needs a deacon, they can set them aside and ordain them. But you know what the deacons are? They're not big shots. You know what the deacons are? They are your servants. And our deacons here, I think, do a wonderful job serving us. Amen. And I thank God for our deacons here at Cool Springs. But they're not any better than anybody else in the church. The pastor surely isn't. And the little children in the sight of God are just as great a blessing in the kingdom as the most able preachers among us. Amen. Are y'all getting this? How many of y'all really believe this now? Let's put it to heart. Let's take it to heart and humble ourselves. And never worry about, you know, I heard years ago, these people talking about the five greatest preachers among the primitive Baptists. And I trembled in my shoes. How would you determine that? That's carnality. That's worldliness. That doesn't belong in the house of God. Now, there may be a preacher that you enjoy more than another preacher. We all have our taste. I mean, that's obvious. But somebody else may enjoy a preacher you don't get much out of. Is that right?
Amen.
It is. So, let's just thank God for all the gifts. And by the way, while I'm up, I want to admonish all of us, charge all of us to be praying to the Lord of the harvest that he would raise up more preachers. We desperately need them. At best, I don't have a lot longer to work and pastor. Somebody asked me today, visiting here, they said, Brother Bryant, are you going to try to continue to preach for a while? Or are you thinking about retirement? Obviously, they didn't know much about Old Baptist. I quoted George Burns, you know, when he was 100, somebody asked him, said, George, you're going to retire? He said, to what? I know the time comes. Franklin just gave up the church way down the country. That time comes with ministers when we can no longer pastor. But as far as stopping preaching, see, that's a lifetime calling. It's not a retirement. I knew a preacher in Alabama who was pastoring a church that claims that they were saving people for heaven. They were taking sinners into their church on their way to hell, and they got them saved and going to heaven. He retired at about the age of 60 and moved down on the Alabama coast in a big, beautiful beach house. Just retired from preaching. And here he was saving people for heaven? How would you retire from that? If I believe that, I know I wouldn't be retired. Truth is, he wasn't saving anybody for heaven. He might as well go on down there and retire. Because he wasn't going to be able to save anybody. You know who's going to heaven? The ones Jesus wanted there. Everyone he loved, he died for, and heaven is going to be their home. This doctrine of grace helps to keep us humble. You say, Brother Sam, it's hard for me to be humble. Not if you believe in salvation by grace. Because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. This doctrine, primitive Baptists ought to be the most humble people on the face of the earth because of what we believe. Now, if I thought I was actually contributing to somebody going to heaven, I think my head would swell. But I know better. I know the only one saving anybody for heaven is Jesus. So may God bless us, is my prayer.